now time for the Bible Answers program, in which we present a frank and earnest discussion of Bible truths in an endeavor to answer your Bible questions. Our subject for this program, The World on Fire. The hope for the future of the human family is as bright as the promises of God's Word. Interesting letter. Dear Frank and Ernest, I have heard you say over the radio that the earth will never be destroyed and that man will continue to live on the earth forever. My friends quote scriptures to prove that the world will come to an end. Some of these scriptures refer to fire as one of the elements which will destroy the world. Will you please explain these texts to me, for I surely want to know the truth. But first, these programs are brought to you by the Dawn Bible Students Association, publishers of the Dawn magazine in cooperation with local Bible study groups and the friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. There may be one of these study groups near you. If you would like to know, write to Frank and Ernest. The address will be given at the close of the program. And now, Ed, will the earth be destroyed?
Surely that is a very interesting letter. The Bible does clearly teach that the earth will never be destroyed, and yet the Bible also prophesies the end of the world.
If the end of the world is the destruction of the earth, and if, as you say, the Bible teaches that the earth will never be destroyed, how can the world come to an end?
Well, to begin with, let's take a look at the word world as it's used in the Bible. How is it used? A very good text to start with is John, or 1 John, rather, chapter 2, verse 15, which reads, "Love not the world, neither the things which are in the world." Now, certainly, that doesn't mean the earth, for I'm sure that God has no objection to our loving the beautiful things which we see all around us in the earth.
But, Ed, what does the Bible mean by the world which Christians are not to love?
Our social world is characterized by sin, selfishness, greed, crime, war, and all the other evils which civilized men and women properly should not love but should hate. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, the Apostle Paul informs us that Satan is the god of this world, and it is this world which, according to the prophecies of the Bible, come to an end.
Well, that's interesting, and if that is the case, the end of the world can't come too soon to suit me. Just the same, Ed, the Bible does speak of fire in connection with the end of the world.
Well,
how can literal fire destroy a social order that you speak of?
Well, the biblical use of the word fire proves that the fire of the prophecies is not literal, but pictorial, of trouble which comes upon the world to prepare the people to accept the rulership of Christ's kingdom.
Ed, that may sound very plausible, but a friend of mine who believes that the earth will be destroyed by fire quoted to me the 8th verse of the 3rd chapter of Zephaniah. And that text says that the whole earth shall be devoured by the fire of God's jealousy. Now, that sounds very literal. Don't you think so?
Well, only if we want it to sound literal. The fact that the fire mentioned in this prophecy is described as the fire of God's jealousy should cause us to wonder just what is meant by the expression.
You mean that it has a hidden meaning?
I think so. The entire text reads, "Wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations and to assemble the kingdoms, that I may pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger. For the whole earth shall be devoured by the fire of my jealousy." The gathering of the nations referred to in this prophecy is to that final struggle of the nations in which man's world is destroyed.
But what is meant by the fire of God's jealousy?
Well, the Hebrew word here translated jealousy is elsewhere in the Old Testament translated zeal. The reference is to God's zeal or determination to destroy sin and unrighteousness from the earth and to establish the messianic kingdom of peace and righteousness. In Isaiah's prophecy of the birth of Christ and the worldwide kingdom he would establish, the statement is made that the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So the prophecy of Zephaniah shows the manner in which the zeal of the Lord destroys Satan's world and thus prepares the way for the full establishment in the earth of Christ's kingdom.
The prophecy states that the whole earth is devoured by the fire of God's jealousy. How could that mean anything else than the destruction of the earth?
We know that it is not the little earth which is devoured or destroyed. For the very next verse says that then the Lord will turn to the people a pure language or a message, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent.
I see that you have a point there.
Well, it proves that after the symbolic earth is devoured by the fire of God's zeal, the human race is still living right here upon the literal earth, and that through the agencies of Christ's kingdom, they will be instructed in the ways of the Lord and will learn to serve and obey him.
Yes, I notice that the earth continues to exist after the social order has been destroyed. So that is a very good point. But, Ed, in the New Testament, Peter prophesied that the earth would be destroyed by fire.
Now, that's correct. But Peter also said that both the heavens and the earth were destroyed in the deluge of Noah's day.
But, Ed, were the heavens and earth destroyed at the time of the flood?
Of course not. This proves that when, in the next verse, Peter speaks of the present earth being destroyed by symbolic fire, he's not referring to the planet earth, but to the sinful and selfish institutions of men which must be set aside to make way for the kingdom of Christ.
All right, but do you have any texts of Scripture to prove that the earth will not be destroyed?
Yes. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 4, we read that the earth abideth forever.
Well, that's a good one.
And the 78th Psalm, verse 69, it declares that the Lord has established the earth forever. And one of Jesus' Beatitudes states, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth."
Yeah, I remember that one.
I think you can see from these texts I've quoted that the earth is to remain forever. And in the prophet Isaiah informs us that the Lord did not create the earth in vain, but formed it to be inhabited. This means that in the creation of the earth, God designed it was to be man's eternal home, to be inhabited not by a dying race, but by his human creation redeemed from death by Christ and restored to health and life.
That certainly is a bright outlook, and I noticed the statement that both the heavens and the earth are to be destroyed. Certainly none of us believe that the heaven is to be destroyed, for that is God's throne. Have you ever noticed that? So the idea that the word earth is symbolic and refers to our present social order, which must pass away to make room for Christ's kingdom, appeals to me.
Well, certainly this understanding brings harmony to all the texts of Scripture which refer to the destruction of the earth.
That is what I like about your approach to the Bible, Ed. The seeming contradictions of the destruction of the earth and the texts which state that the earth abides forever are explained so that they are all in agreement.
Well, thank you, Russell. In the little book, God's Plan, this is clearly pointed out, and the charts are used to illustrate the marvelous harmony of the Bible. It shows that a world ended at the time of the flood, and that the present world is even now coming to an end, to be followed by the establishment of the kingdom of Christ. Russell, Would you like to tell our friends a little more about the booklet, God's Plan?
Yes, Ed, I would. One question it answers, which is vital to all of us, is, does the Bible hold out a hope for those who have died in unbelief? But friends, you will find that the copy of God's Plan that will be mailed to you will give you a wealth of information. So send now for God's Plan. Address your request to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. The address again, Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Simply ask for the plan book, and it will be mailed to you free and without obligation.
Send for your free booklet today. Mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. To repeat, mail your request to Frank and Ernest, P.O. Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. Or call this toll-free number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That's 1-800-234-DAWN. The booklet will be sent to you free and without obligation. This program is brought to you each week by the Dawn Bible Students Association in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. To repeat, call toll-free the following number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That is 1-800-234-DAWN to receive without obligation the free booklet offered. Please include the call letters of this station with your request. Ask your friends to listen to our program, won't you please? And now, goodbye, and may God bless you.